We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Powerful in it. He's able to save. Jesus is continuing to save. Let me ask you a question. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you died right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? Do you? Pray that every person does. If you don't, you can. Bible says over in Romans chapter 10, verses 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with his mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Listen to this, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Are you saved? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you are a whosoever, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Have you trusted Christ? Here's what I'm not talking about. Have you said a prayer? I'm not talking about have you come up and said a prayer. Yeah, I remember back 20 years, 5 years, 90 years ago, I said a prayer. No, I'm talking about is Jesus Lord today? Was Jesus your Lord yesterday? Were you walking? Is there an intimate walk? Are you growing with Christ? Is there a relationship with Christ? Not just words, it's a relationship. Is Christ your Savior? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? So much so that you can answer that question. Yeah, Brother Shannon, I know he's my Savior, and I know that if I die, I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. If you can't, you can. If you don't right now, you can. If you can't say that, you can. You say, how? What am I supposed to do? You just cry out to him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord to be saved, you just simply with childlike faith surrender. Stop running. Stop trying to make it make sense. Stop trying to make it all, yeah, but I've got to do this, I've got to do this. No, you do not have to do anything but simply believe. What did the thief on the cross do? He simply believed. Two thieves on the different sides of Jesus. One was throwing curses and insults. The other one said, look, we're here because we deserve it. This guy has done nothing wrong. He is innocent. And he looks at Jesus and says, hey, will you remember me today? Will you remember me when you enter into your kingdom? And Jesus said, they did not take him down and go baptize him. He didn't have to go through a new members class. Jesus looked over at him because he believed that he was who he says he was. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He believed that this Jesus is exactly who he says he was. He is the sinless Son of God who was sent to this earth to live perfectly, to die perfectly, and to rise perfectly so you and I could have our sins forgiven. He is our only hope, and I pray that you know him. I want us to bow our heads right now. You say, Brother Shannon, I don't, but I want to. And then why not ask him right now, right here, beginning before we even get started today. He still saves. If you know you're a sinner, if you know you're not a Christian, then why not say, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you died for me. Save me. Come into my life and be my Lord. I surrender, Jesus. I quit running. I quit living it on my own. I quit trying to play God of my own life. I surrender. Save me. Forgive me. Be my Lord. Say this. Say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for being the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you. I give you my life from this day forward. I live for you from this day forward. I surrender all to you. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Father God, around this room, I don't know who said that. God, around this room with this many, there could be one who, you know, we stand because we all stand. We sing because we all sing. We clap because everybody clapped. But you can do all those things and still be lost. But I pray, God, that they surrendered, that they quit running, that they cried out to you for mercy and forgiveness. And Jesus, you tell us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, you do not say there that you might be, you could be, or you ought to be. No, you said will be. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You tell us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. It's not might not perish, but no, it's will not perish. And we trust you, Jesus. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with every ounce of energy that we have, all that we are. You are our only hope, King Jesus. Not our abilities, it's not our goodness, it's you only. You are our salvation, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's no telling. I didn't say raise your hand. I didn't say walk up front. I didn't say do anything like that. But there's no telling what the Spirit of God can do in the hearts and the minds of the people. But if you prayed and you believe and you trust Christ, you're different now. Not because I say so, but because the Word of God says so. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're no longer who you were. You're brand new in Christ. He's still able to save. God don't look. God doesn't see the trash. He sees Christ. He doesn't see our mess ups. He sees the righteousness of Christ. We're clothed in him. Praise God. If you got your Bibles, turn over with me to Mark. Mark is where we're going to be today. Mark is where we are. It's a powerful sermon. Very important sermon. Very, very, very important sermon. We need more of this in the world today. We need more of this. Jesus here, Mark, for those of you that have problems reading the Bible, Mark is a good book to read. It is fast-paced. It's immediately. Chapter 1, he comes onto the scene, he is baptized, and then immediately he's taken up into the wilderness and he is tempted by Satan for those 40 days. And then immediately comes down and he's calling disciples to himself. Immediately. In word, he is healing people left and right. People are coming to him all over the place. Look over at verse 28. Immediately the news, chapter 1, Mark 1, 28. Immediately the news about him spread everywhere in all the surrounding district of Galilee. Everybody was hearing about this Jesus. His word, his name, his fame was going all over the place. Everybody. People were coming to him. They was healing people everywhere. Chapter 1, verse 29. And immediately after they came out into the synagogues, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her, and he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. Constantly, people were coming. Look at this next verse. When evening came after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill, of those with demon possessed, and the whole city was gathered. Everybody was coming. Everybody was coming. It was amazing. He was healing everybody. Fame, his name was growing. But notice this. Simple nugget here at the very beginning that I think is very important for us that are, you that are, I'm not, try not to be, that are workaholics. Any workaholics in the room? Got an obedient one in the back that was honest. Rest of you weren't honest, he was. Workaholics, here's the deal. Jesus rested. Look at here what it says. Jesus rested. In verse 35, in the early morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and was praying there. You know, when Everything is going fast. Everything is happening. He could have stayed there. He could have healed all day, all night, all day, all night. But he was 100% man as well. We hard to wrap our minds around, but he was 100% man as well. And he needed that time away to a secluded place to get off and to be with the Father. Sometimes we say, hey, I got too much to do. I can't slow down. I can't stop. Yes, you can. If our Savior can, we can. If our Savior can find time to rest and find time to go be with the Lord, then it is necessary for us as well to slow down, to stop, to be still, and to go be with the Father. That's what Jesus was all through Scripture before. Notice this interesting study. Go find it. Anytime Jesus was about to do some powerful, amazing stuff, he had gone away, slipped off, and spent time with the Father. It's very important to slip away and spend time with the Father. Jesus here is healing many, many. His name is going out. People are being healed all over the place. So much so, look at verse 45, but he went out. This dude, he healed this guy with leprosy. He told him, don't tell nobody, chapter 1, verse 45, but he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and it spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus came, could no longer publicly enter the city, but stayed out in the unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Let me ask you a question before I go any further. Do you believe that Jesus, the song we finished with, or that he still saves? Do you believe Jesus still saves? Do you? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, good. Chapter 2. When he came to Capernaum, verse 1, several days afterwards, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking, and he was speaking the word to them. There wasn't even room. There was no room in there. He's preaching to them, and the room is packed. Packed house. Verse 3. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 men. And being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. I preached this back many, many years ago. Have since. May have even mentioned it here. Don't think I have, though. Probably 17, 18 years ago I preached this. And when you think about what's going on here, when you think about the faith of these 4 guys, and you think about what's happening in the room, when you think about what it says, look at literally what is said. Being unable to get him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. Guys, this is no simple task. 4 guys. I see 4 guys right here. There, 4 guys literally climbed up on the roof of the building and started ripping the roof off. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Can you imagine the noise? Back in the day, back when I preached it, it was online forever. It's hard to find now. It's deep, deep, deep buried back. But one of the days I preached it, I pulled up. There's no way to dig through that. Their houses were more pitch and straw, and it was a flat roof. But when you started tearing it, things would have started falling. Dust would have started falling. Dirt and stuff would have started falling. But can you imagine what it must have sounded like when I was up there, what I did is I got a chainsaw, and I cranked up a chainsaw, and I started. It didn't have a blade on it, but it did smoke. I didn't know it was smoking until after the fact. And I cranked up a chainsaw. Listen, louder, 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 louder. Can you imagine you're sitting in church, and that's what's going on in the roof? That's what it would have sounded like on that day. Getting that, those 4 guys, listen, the whole point of this sermon is we need more men like that. We need more men that absolutely could care less about what people think. We need more men who care more about the souls of their friends and the eternal destiny of their friends than what the people in the room may be thinking. Can you only imagine when that sound started going off and the dust started falling and the women sitting up here, I can imagine the women sitting up here and all of a sudden they started getting dirt all over there. They started getting dust and junk. Now, what is going on? Who's going to pay for that? Who cares who's going to pay for it? Who's going to fix that? It don't matter. Here's the deal, church. Listen. Every single one of us know lost people. Every single one of us know lost people that are going to die and bust hell wide open. They are going to die and they're going to go to hell. And you know what we'll do? We'll invite them to a ball game. And we'll invite them to hunt, and we'll invite them to fish, and we'll invite them to have supper, and we'll invite them to birthday parties, and we will travel ball till we're blue in the face. But when it comes to telling them about Jesus, we don't do that because we may offend them. Let me go ahead and tell you, when they tore the hole in somebody's roof, those four men absolutely could care less who they were offending. They didn't care that, look, you know what? This is going to cost me something. People are going to outcast me. People are going to talk about me. I'm going to be rejected possibly. There could be some ramifications that I don't even see could come. But all they had on their heart was, I got to get my friend to this Jesus. Church, imagine what could happen if us who are filled with the Holy Spirit stopped caring what people may think and did whatever we could to get those lost people to this Jesus. We can pray for them. Because notice this next verse. Look at what Jesus does. Look at what's so amazing. Look at verse 5. And Jesus seeing their faith. Jesus seeing their faith. You got the paralytic, and I can only imagine he's hanging there. He's like, brothers, don't you dare drop me. I'm not going to be just paralyzed. I'm going to be dead if you drop me. So there was five guys with some faith. Four working it, and the other was just hanging on for the ride. But Jesus saw their faith, and look at what he does. Said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine what could happen if you and I, the church of the living God, got on fire and said, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my lost friends to this Jesus, my broken friends to this Jesus, my helpless. The Bible says we're hopeless before Christ. We're helpless before Christ. We, in our sin and in our brokenness, there's nothing. We are enemies of God. There's absolutely nothing we can do before trusting Christ. There's nothing we can do. Kind of like this guy. He was at the mercy of the world. And Jesus saw their faith and he forgave them. But notice this. Finish the story. Powerful story. But some of the scribes, notice this. This Jesus we serve is God. This Jesus we serve is God. And he knows what's going on. He knows it here. Notice, but some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. They weren't talking. They were reasoning. They weren't verbally gossiping and pinching their neighbors saying, look what's going on up there. No, they were literally reasoning in their minds. Why does this man speak this way? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Verse 8, and immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? God sees the secret things. God sees the secret things. Church. There's a lot of people that walk into churches that need Jesus that don't look like you. They don't smell like you. They don't act like you. They're from a different side of the tracks than you. They don't dress like you. They don't know the rules you know. And when we're sitting in there reasoning in our hearts and we're sitting in there judging and gossiping and saying to ourselves, why is she here? Why is he here? You know, not until right now have I ever thought about that. You know what? Those scribes and Pharisees are taking up room. Those scribes and Pharisees, that full house, those place takers, those placeholders ain't going to believe no matter what they see. Those placeholders are just in the way. Remember, they couldn't get in the doors. Imagine the scribes and Pharisees, get them suckers out there. They'd probably had room to walk him in. There's a lot of folks, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of folks that are not going to do nothing. They're just going to complain, they're just going to judge, they're just going to be hypocrites from the beginning. They're not going to worship, they're just in the way. Don't be that. Don't be that. It's easy to be. I'm telling you, in a church, it's easy to be that. It's easy. Church is fun. We're fun friends, free friends. We'll feed you every so often. We go on trips. We have fun. We sing. We got some really cool things. And it's easy to call because we're like a really cheap, free country club. All you have to do is show up and have fun. But what do I have to do to sign up? Nothing. Show up. It's easy to come in and be a placeholder. It's easy to come in and do nothing but look around the room and judge him or her. I can't believe he's here. I can't believe she's here. I can't believe they're doing that. I can't believe they would do that. Can you imagine? Jesus says, stop. Verse 9, what's easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pack up, pick up your pallet and walk out? So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority over each earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. And he got up and immediately picked up his pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Let me ask you, most of you have been coming to church for a really long time. Grew up in church. Wouldn't it be the most amazing thing to ride away one Sunday and be able to look at your other half and say, you know what, I ain't never seen nothing like that in church. I ain't never seen a move of God like that before. I ain't never seen the Spirit fall like that before. Wonder what's stopping it. Wonder what's stopping it. Could it be that we refuse to be like the four men? Give them five. Could it be that but I don't want to cause no problem. I don't want to do that. I don't want to cause a scene. What's a soul worth? What's a soul worth? What's a grandkid's soul worth? What's a son's soul worth? What's a parent's soul worth? I'm not talking about a stranger, you know, because, you know, as long as it's over there, they don't mean nothing to me. But no, what's a soul worth? Praise God that you and I had, and I pray again you know him. Praise God we had people that brought us to Jesus, that was praying for us, that brought us, that didn't care, that poured into us, that moved heaven and earth to get the word to us. Church, come here. If you're a minister, Thomas, Ken, stand up. Any other ordained pastors in the room, don't let me, there's Jeff. Dan, something's happened in the last, is there any more? Something's happened in the last 2,000 years. The vast majority of the people that come into the church think that we are the guys that do. We're not evangelists. We're not evangelists. We're just, Bible says we're equippers. And he gave some to be pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints. We're equippers. Guys, there was over 500 and some people at this church this day. And only 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 were pastors. So you know what that means? That means there was about 400, close to 500 soldiers. Soldiers. Listen, if I could, I'd tear the roofs off all of them. But y'all are the roof guys. Y'all are the roof guys. Y'all are the... The Bible says, and he gave some to be pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints to do the work of ministry. But here's what happened. Here's what the enemy has done over the last 2,000 years. He has lulled us to sleep and said, well, we're going to get a paid guy to come in and do all the work. You know what he does? He gets the music ready. You know what I do? I get the sermon ready. You're telling me y'all ain't knocking on doors all day long? No, we're not. You know what? Around 11:15, he looks at me and he says, what are we having for lunch? Yeah, and he's like, we're just normal Joes, y'all. He's hungry a lot. And I'm like, I guess I'll go. So we're not combing the streets. Here's what it is. The church is like, oh, the preachers are going to save the world. We don't do that, I promise you. Come hang out with us. You'll be like, are y'all serious? We're just common Joes. So that begs, who's going to be dropping them down? Who's going to be bringing them? Who brings them? The enemy has convinced the army that the few equippers are doing all the work. We're not. It's not our biblical role. Listen, I stood up here at the very beginning and I shared the gospel, and I will straight up share the gospel if I can to anybody. If you say, hey, I want this one to hear it, I will do everything I can, but you got to bring them here. I hang out with him all day long. Jeff comes in. We got staff meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Come hang out. We would love for y'all to come hang out. Take us out to eat around 11. 11:15. See there? Look at it. Thank y'all. But over 2,000 years, y'all come and you sit. I even have to tell you before, first service ticked me off. They didn't clap for nothing, bunch of scoundrels. Y'all wouldn't if I hadn't have told you. We just come and we sit. We get a little sermonette. We get a little feel good. And we run back out the door. Am I lying? We get a little sermon. We get a little ditty. You shake my hand. Oh, I needed that. You need punching in the mouth, what you need. You don't need nothing I'm giving you. You need to be obedient to Jesus. You need to be obedient to the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. That says, you know what, you got friends, you got family, you got people that are going to go to hell. And inviting them to a party, inviting them to a game, inviting them to hunt and fish and to shop and go travel with you and go on vacation with you and go on all these places with you is one thing. But what about, hey, why don't you come spend eternity with me? What profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It's appointed unto man once to die, and then there's going to be a judgment. And at that moment, the only thing that matters is Jesus. What did they do with Jesus? Guys, we got to have more of this church. Church has got to start ripping roofs off, doing whatever it takes, whatever we can do to get people to Christ. Here's the thing. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. He's equipped you with everything pertaining to life and godliness. You have the ability to share Christ with whoever. You and I, that's what we are. You are the army. You are not come sit, hear a ditty, go off back to life. That's never been a biblical thing. That's never been. This system has never been the biblical model. Biblical model's not this, but it's the world system. And you know what, devil, week after week, He wants you to sleep through this or be bored through this or be focused on something else through this. And you walk out the door and he's like, shh, shh. I said earlier, devil loves to watch us in the Western Hemisphere go to bed. And he says, good. Let me run over to the other side and convince them to chase a lot of useless, fruitless, non-eternal things so that they go to bed being rendered useless to the kingdom. And you know what? When we start waking up, all he wants to do is render you useless to the kingdom. It's becoming more and more and more evident in my mind that Shannon Moses has less time ahead of him than he's got behind him. I got 48 birthdays behind me. That would put me 96, right? Is that right, math? I don't think I'm going to make it to 96. I may, but I won't be good to be around. Bring me some food or something. I mean, Adeline, take care of me, but I got less time than I've had. We all do. What are we going to do with it? It's a choice we all make. It's a choice every one of us has to make. What am I going to do with the rest of it? We need more men like this. We need more people that could care less and just care about one thing, and I need. I need you to meet my Jesus. Because he can save. I want us to pray, not sing. Let's pray, okay? I want you to right there. Don't stand. Just sit right there. Sit right there and bow your head. Everybody just bow your head. Let me ask you a question. Where's God sending you? Who is God sending you to? Who do you need to carry up on the roof and just drop them down? Who? Church, the devil is not putting names in your mind. The Spirit of God does. Father God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. As humbly and as obediently as we know how. God, first of all, saying we're sorry. Sorry for wasted time, wasted energy, wasted effort, wasted years. God, give us more chances. Give us another chance. We rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Everybody just say that in your mind. We rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You have no authority. You have no power. In the blood of Jesus, in the risen Lord Jesus' victorious name, you are defeated. God, we pray your blood over all these names that you've given us. God, give us wisdom to know what to do, what to say. God, give us the words to say. Open up doors of opportunity. God, give us the ability, Lord. Holy Spirit, there's not enough room in all the churches all over Tuscaloosa and surrounding area for your kingdom to come. Bring revival, God. Bring it through us. Through our us being obedient, us willing to do whatever it takes, God. If it takes climbing a roof, if it takes ripping off a roof, if it takes dropping him down, God, do whatever. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what man may say. We're not men pleasers. God, help us be found faithful. Help us to be found walking in a manner worthy of your great name, King Jesus. God, it's been a good day on this hill. It has been a really good day on this hill. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, and I pray that I don't know who you saved today. God, I don't know who you woke up today, who you got their attention today. I don't know who, Lord. I don't know who's going to be saved because of today. I don't know who around us's lives are going to be forever changed because of today. But God, we go ahead right now and we give you glory and praise and honor beforehand, because you are rightfully due it all. God, we are a big army. We are a big army. As you send us out, Lord, equip us, empower us, strengthen us, use us in a mighty, mighty way. And we're going to give you praise for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.